much more in tune with the intro video and my internet this week. Last week, we were all out of sorts, but not this week. We are on it. We don't have a three-hour show to talk about this time around. We have a much more normal showtime to discuss here, but very excited to dive back into ROH, of course, joined by SP3 here. But before we get underway, we're going to ask you to get in your super chats, no hopper chats at the beginning of the show. I'm going to try and change that because I think Joel has access to them and I don't like the inconsistency. I don't like being left in the dark. We're going to get humper chat access on here. So get in those super chats for now, though, if there's anything you want to talk about ROH related, this episode in general. Seems like we're working toward Final Battle, which hasn't been announced, but we can kind of make an assumption that it's going to be on the way. Please leave a thumbs up on this video as well. It definitely helps people find us in the algorithm. Not everyone's always seeking out ROH content. So if they are, give them a little bit of help. Get us on those recommended pages. Give us a thumbs up on here. And we'll also remind you to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. So much fun back there. You have Sean's backstage report, which was full of stuff this week. You're going to want to check that one out on FightfulSelect.com. The backstage report and Ask SRS have gotten merged into one because they were such similar shows. So combining those streams for efficiency's sake, you're also going to want to join that Discord. I know there's a lot, especially this week, that's been happening in the Twitter/X space. A lot of people don't want to be on there as much in light of recent events. So hop into the Discord. It's a super fun, easy place to hang out and talk about wrestling. There's an Ask SRS channel on there where you can almost get Sean on demand. He is quick with those, but so much happening. And in fact, after this stream, Alex Pawlowski and I are going to be doing our own AEW stream because he got gypped on watching AEW yesterday for the NXT review with myself. So kind of by request, people were just looking for somewhere to hang out this week. So we're throwing in a bonus stream back there. But before we get to any of that, we've got ROH to talk about. And SP3 with the 2 hours under his name there. I'll tell you what I could watch 2 hours of, and that's a Gabe Kidd interview. That guy is entertaining as hell. You scored a good one there. I'll let you tell people what they can look forward to with that. But how you doing? What you up to? Let us know.
I am glad to be here on a Thursday, one of my favorite times, one of my favorite days of the week, because I get to, you know, chop it up on the True Hill Heat YouTube channel with Jimmy McAram about Dynamite. We actually reviewed NXT, and it was funny because it was kind of like how you and Alex do the Crown Jewel review, where one person watches the show and has to tell the other person about it. Because Jimmy was like, I'm not watching. He was like, you get me for 2 hours a week. He's like, I'm not watching the other show. So I had to describe to him NXT. And I literally was like, there was a whole 30-minute segment of nostalgia from Bubba Ray Dudley into Nunzio. I was like, I hated every minute of it. So I'm going to go back and watch you and Alex talk about it as well, if y'all were with me on that. Because I was like, the show started off nice and good. The hardcore match with Jada Parker and Lola
really
Fies.
Good, yeah.
Wesley and Javon Evans, even though they set Javon Evans up for failure every single time, you've got to do twisting into RKOs, then he has to jump across the ring. Why do y'all keep doing this to this kid? Like,
I think it's him. I think he's a perv for those spots, and he's so close each time, like so close, but the frog splash that was basically a coast to coast came up just short.
I was like, he went for a 5-star frog splash. He ended up getting 3 stars. But it was that was the good way to kick off the show. And then they just was Sean just went, you know what? I'm going back to the 90s to do some drugs. Here's Bubba Ray Dudley. Here's Nunzio.
I liked the Nunzio match better than I like Bubba Ray, if we're being so for real.
That's true.
Like, he sold the ending. He wasn't like in the greatest ring shape, but he did enough. It was a super fun through line with Tony D. So that I was like, of all the nostalgia pops, it's really weird that Nunzio, I think, was probably my favorite. But my God,
That's fair. But no, I thought yesterday was a fun night. It was very reminiscent of like 2020 Wednesday Night Wars instead of what we got on that Tuesday Night War, which was both shows were not that good. But this was yesterday was a good time. So I'm glad to be here on a Thursday. I got to talk about that earlier with Jimmy. Then I had my interview with Gabe Kidd, NJPW Strong Openweight Champion. You can check that out on the Takedown on SI YouTube channel that drops tomorrow. I believe my article talking about all about the backstage fight with Kenny Omega that Sean had the exclusive footage of earlier today, dropping the video of what went down. So we got to talk about that, get his initial reaction, because I interviewed him like an hour after Sean dropped the footage. So he said his phone was blowing up. So we talked all about that. My article talking about his thoughts on the game, on the Kenny Omega backstage fight and a potential matchup maybe in the Tokyo Dome. We also talked about that, and maybe official challenge. I don't know. You'll see in the article. Check it out, SI.com. But I've had a fun week on talking about stuff from SI.com. I got to chop it up with the guys over at the Black Announce Table podcast.
Very cool.
Interview with me about my top 20 greatest WWE wrestlers of all time. I got to see the boys over at Going In Raw. They did a video on that. I got to chop it up a little bit with Steve in the DMs because he thought my real name was auto-generated, which was funny, until someone in his comments was like, oh, Steven Larson, who the hell is Sid Pillar the Third? And then the person also put SP3 saying, seriously, guys? And then Steve responded, oh, SP3? We love him.
That's incredible.
I love how that's the second time someone told me they saw that article and did not know it was me because it has my full government instead of SV3.
That's it. I love it.
People
cannot catch on to the initialisms with that. Well, Gabe Kidd, always fun. I did a Media Moves breakdown for him on my YouTube channel, which I just dusted off. So I'm going to plug my own shit up here. I'm going to tell you a little bit about what I've got going on. This week I released two videos and it's part of my five things series. The first one was five things that I thought WWE could be doing better from a company-wide perspective, kind of through a marketing and PR lens. Not creative, like nothing to do with the on-screen product. And then I dropped my AEW one of the same kind of nature earlier today. Later in the month, I'm going to talk about five things that each company I think is doing extremely well at. So starting with the criticism, we'll be closing the month with the improvements. But head over to Miss Kate Fabe and subscribe over there if you're not already. It would mean the world to me. That first video is closing in on 2,000 views. That was very unexpected.
Because it was my first one back in a long time. It popped up on my timeline. I was like, oh. I didn't even have to watch it. I just clicked on it, pressed the like. I'm going to watch it. I put in my two watch for sure.
I'm in the queue. No, I wish I were able to support my friends more, but like between, you know how it is, because you do about the same ballpark as many shows as I do. It's like you have to live your life at some point and you have to have other hobbies at some point. Like it is really hard to stay on top of everything that everyone you love is doing, but speaking of things people we love are doing, I'm not going to tell you to leave this channel, but I'm going to tell you to open up a second screen if you want to see Sean losing his mind at the Bengals, okay? He is doing a DraftKings YouTube takeover. He's on their YouTube channel, which is really, really cool. He's also on his own at Common Bengals W. I'm assuming they're going to lose because they are not in a great way and they are playing a tough team today. So that makes me as a Steelers fan very happy. So go watch Sean fall apart. Just fall apart. It's very funny when he does. I promise you, you'll enjoy it. I've seen it before myself. So you're going to want to see that. But really cool that he has this opportunity to go to DraftKings YouTube, do a YouTube takeover there, do reaction content, which isn't something he normally does. So head over there and support him. But we're going to finally dig into this episode of ROH. Please leave a thumbs up. Get in those super chats as we kick off the show here. I had to ask SP3 at the beginning of the show, because the stream flips over to the beginning. So sometimes I get nervous that I'm wrong about. They had announced that Josh Woods was in the main event and then Katsuyori Shibata and The Butcher closed. I was like, that didn't kick off the show. But when it flipped back over, I was like, did it kick off the show? Am I out of my mind? But that is not what happened. We started with Taylor Promotions and the Infantry. We saw the merger from last week. defeating Nice and Smooth, Tom Mitchell and Trace Parker via pinfall with that two to the head on Parker. I am so glad to finally see some movement. Well, we've been talking about this ad nauseum for weeks, if not months. Like, the infantry having something to do that would be substantive, that we're paying off the losses that they were getting. And we've talked also about Shane Taylor Promotions not having a promotions as much as a couple of guys. Like, there is not, like, a nucleus to this. We saw them merge forces. We had this really beautiful callback to Trisha Dora being the linchpin between the two groups, because that's a callback to a different era of ROH, which I thought was so well done. And we're finally getting some consistency around this. It's not necessarily what I love, because we've now twice seen Shane Taylor call out for title shots. But if the idea is we're going to get this whole STP angle getting some wins before he gets there, that would be really nice. It would be nice to have some consistency of everybody in Shane Taylor Promotions getting wins, Lee Moriarty having that championship already, to make it feel like there's some kind of not Blackpool Combat Club style takeover, but like a force to be reckoned with here on ROH. And you start that with things like this, a strong tag team win against two people that aren't even in the locker room, right? Like, you expect this to be kind of a quick win for the infantry here, but this was a perfectly fine way to kick off the show to me. I thought it was a solid match, and I like what we're getting from both Sean Dean and Carly Bravo, especially Carly Bravo, where he's so magnetic and has so much charisma that when you have to then flip and harness it as a heel, it has to look different. And I think he's doing a really good job of that so far, because he's very easy to get behind because his personality is so vibrant, right? So I love that he's been able to kind of flip that switch and still be a very charismatic character, but now kind of with this new attitude.
Yeah, they've really done a good job from, like, using the same type of vibes that Infantry had as baby faces and naturally making that into a heel persona. And I think what goes a long way, even though I really like the Infantry theme, is coming out to the Shane Taylor Promotions theme. It kind of gives it a whole different feel for who they are. And I like the fact that they switched up their finisher here with the two to the head instead of the boot camp, which is their usual kind of finisher when they were baby faces. Now they have the two to the head because they're a little bit more violent, a little bit more aggressive in the ring, and a little bit more cocky as well with Carly Bravo. I thought Carly Bravo kind of showed his confidence that he had as a baby face is now turned into cockiness as a heel. So I thought that they really presented their characters very, very well here. And I resent the fact someone in the chat said they were Hurt Business minor league. They're is the difference between black factions. Not all black factions are made the same. Like, Hurt Business are businessmen. They're businessmen. These are the thugs on the street. These are the thugs who are just beating the people up, and they're taking names. They're taking names, and they're moving on to the next one, and they're trying to establish themselves. Hurt Business is the establishment. That's the difference between the two. If y'all wanted a difference of the two, these are the thugs on the street who are trying to establish themselves. And these are the guys that own the clubs, owned all the stores. They are, for another reference, they are the ghost. They are a ghost from Power. They're ghosts from Power. And these are the thugs on the street who are the corner boys. Like, this is the difference of the two with the Hurt Business and Shane Taylor Promotions.
My litmus test for stuff like that too, I'm always like, I always feel like it, like if I saw Shelton Benjamin across the street and he was in a bad mood, I would probably keep walking. Like, but if I saw Shane Taylor across the street and he was in a bad mood, I would cross the street. Like, that dude looks like he is going to murder. So his facial expressions and the tone of his voice are so perfectly wrestling intimidating. Like, they're so, I just don't want to mess with that guy. And you're right in that the Hurt Business to me reads as something as more strategic. They're out there in the suits. They're there to do business, right? The Hurt Syndicate, we should be calling them now. But there's a really big difference between these guys are going to F you up, which is how I feel about where Shane Taylor Promotions is, and there being like a little bit more craftiness and the priorities even being different. Like, this is a violent faction. The Hurt Business is looking for championship gold and ways to get there, I feel like. So,
and I like the kind of the mission statement that MVP said at the beginning of Dynamite this week, where he said, we're trying to enrich people's careers. Like, we have enriched each other's careers. So if you take a business card, you can become, you know, your great, your wildest dreams in the industry. But if you reject a business card, we're going to whoop your ass. You're going to hurt you. We hurt you. I love the theme music.
The theme's great. The theme is so, so good. I also want to give credit to Nice and Smooth on the other side of this. Really good people for these guys to beat up. Like, they seemed very like fresh faced and new and like perfect baby faces for someone to be a little nasty to you too. So credit to them as well for the work that they did on this show.
This overall was a good night for the unsigned talent. But
yes.
I may have a new favorite wrestler who might be behind Beef, not my favorite, but one of my new favorite wrestlers was an unsigned talent on the show.
Okay. I like it. I like it, guys. Leave a thumbs up and get in those super chats if there's anything that you want to talk about. If you want to say hi to me and SP3, who's wrapping up his time in Europe. He's going to be back stateside soon enough. Not soon enough to see the Yankees lose in horrific fashion.
Like they just wanted to hurt me. Like, first you had the Yankees lose, then you had the election. It's just like, do I really want to go back? I live right by Yankee Stadium. Like,
your IWGP heavyweight champion is British. Like, there's so much good momentum on your side of the pond right now, SP3. What are you doing?
Just talk to the NJPW strong openweight champion who's 100%. From England. It's like,
I don't know what you're thinking coming back here that soon, but we need you back. That's what I think. I think when you left, all of the superpowers left with you, and we need you. The city needs you. You're our Batman, SP3. But let's move along to SAP versus LSG and Sean Donovan, who I've seen fight each other a million times. Very good chemistry together in this. You get the La Reynera from Angelico onto LSG. That's a singles match that in my head I booked as a dream match. I'm very familiar with LSG. He's a friend of mine and an outstanding talent around this parts. He's so great, and I think he gets called on as an enhancement talent a lot because of this. Incredibly versatile, can work with just anybody. His footwork is fantastic. Like, that was one of the things that I noticed about him first, is like the foundation that he is built on. There's a lot of really, really good things that just, you can throw him in there with anybody and he's going to make them look great. These guys don't need a lot of help making people look great, especially Angelico. But this was some good stuff. SAP is one of those ones that we talk about, like, kind of pick a lane. Like, we saw Angelico in the Pure Division. We've seen them as a tag team now multiple, like, feeling like they're being built in the tag division, and then suddenly they're not kind of stuff. So would like some clarity around there, because I feel like Angelico is like one of the most underrated talents that they have there. I think he's so smooth in there. But this was a perfectly, as they say in Simpsons world, a perfectly cromulent match. I had no issue with this. What did you think?
It was a fine match. I like the double submission finish for SAP here. The only thing I would have, like, if I could nitpick or add anything, I would have said they do like a post-match promo or a backstage promo afterwards, where they be like, hey, we're a little bit upset. We were the victims of Shane Taylor Promotions when the Infantry turned heel last week. I would have liked some follow-up to that, and we have somewhat of an ongoing story, because this can now feel like, if they never follow up on that, this just feels like a squash match or an enhancement match for like no reason. Like, I would like the reason, like, immediately on the same show. Like, they got the win to get back momentum, but now they're focused on getting revenge on the Infantry or something like that.
Agreed. I think some clarity around where they're going would be good, and I also think SAP is like a great team to have to deal with all of Shane Taylor Promotions. Like, that would be a really a fun way to go for for what they're capable of in the ring, and especially for what Serpentico does as far as eating a lot of punishment. I think it's pretty all right. But we've got a super chat from Meat Norvis that I'm going to pull up here because he's talking about my Steelers. My Steelers catching strays, okay? I'm watching Sean's stream. I'm trying to be supportive. I'm not a Bengals fan. I'm tuned in, and he's saying, like, oh, the Steelers are only where they're at because they had an easy schedule. They're going to get slaughtered the second half of the year. I'm like, what do you say F me for? You know what I mean? But me, Normus, rooting for the same thing over here. Hello, bruvs. K, my Commanders are playing the Steelers this week. I'm already prepping meat. If my guys win, will you take a bite of chicken tendy? No. But I will celebrate with my Impossible chicken tendies, which are a staple in my freezer in my vegan era so far. So I will do that if my Steelers win. If your Commanders win, we'll figure something else out. But I the animals are too cute, man. I can't eat them anymore. I can't do it.
Oh, look at that.
Thank you. They're just too adorable. I love them too much. I can't. I can't do it. But we have what I think is one of the better Matt Taven promos that I've seen in a long time. I actually like this more than most of the stuff that he was doing, I think, properly in the Undisputed Kingdom, where we have Lee Moriarty cutting a promo backstage where he vows to show Taven that he is the person running the Pure Division when they go at it. And then a really nice response in this episode from Matt Taven, who says that he's unlike any other wrestler because he's only spoken facts while everybody else is based on opinion. He talks about him already being a quadruple champion, a Grand Slam winner already. He just has this one title to go. And he says that Moriarty, that he was looking at him like a puzzle because the ROH Pure title was the only belt missing in that collection. So this was just like one of the more rooted Matt Taven promos, and it had such clarity around what he was going after and why that it was just so simple and perfect that I thought pretty well delivered by him. I'm not always the biggest Matt Taven gal. I feel like for me, sometimes what's special about him doesn't always come to the forefront as immediately as I prefer in some other wrestlers. But this I thought was some of the best promo work I've seen from him, like since ROH of yore, like years and years ago. What did you think of the promos that we got from Lee and Matt Taven here?
Lee was solid with what he had to say, but I agree. I think Matt Taven had the better of the two promos, because when Matt Taven has like a focus or story that he's able to tell, I think that he's really underrated at that. Both him and Mike Bennett are really underrated when they have something to really sink their teeth into. And this was reminiscent. I think the last time we got like this type of focused Matt Taven promo was in his rivalry against Vincent, or even before that, yeah, when he was going for the Ring of Honor World Championship. Like, when he has something that he could sink his teeth into, if he has a goal that he's just trying to achieve, that's the best Matt Taven. Matt Taven, who's in Undisputed Kingdom and coming off the Devil storyline, that's not the Matt Taven that we can really enjoy and invest in. But this is, like, he has a story, he has a mission that he's trying to complete, and honestly, I want him to now become the Pure champion based on the promo. I think that Lee Moriarty's the type of guy who can have more than one reign as the Pure champion. He could drop the title to Taven and then probably win it back down the road. And we still got 2 months between now or a month and a half. I don't know. They don't announce it. So I don't know how long we got until the final battle.
We don't know.
Could be 6 months. Could be a year. Maybe they skip final battle. I don't know. We're in November. It's the second week of November. Why haven't they said anything? I don't know. But hey, we are coming to final battle. We got still a couple of weeks to fill in. We can have it this match on next week's show. Taven wins to set up a rematch at final battle. You could do it like that if you want to. But I really want to see Matt Taven complete the puzzle that he put together in this promo.
You know, sometimes I think a lot of people, self-included, forget a promo is supposed to promote the match. It's that simple, right? That's what it's short for. It's not a time to just talk a bunch or put yourself over and talk about how great you are and this match that's coming up with your opponent. It's to promote the match and your journey getting there. And to me, that's what I loved about this, because I kind of want Lee to retain because I think STP is just getting its feet cemented. properly here. But I wanted, I wouldn't be mad if Matt Taven won it now. Like, it, I want to see the match. Like, promos are supposed to make you want to see the match. So often promos miss the mark on that. It's really that simple. And that's what this did. I feel like that's probably why I love the Pure division in general so much, is because it's so match focused. And that's my favorite thing, right? So part of the beauty of having that Pure title around is it's about the title. It's about the match. You don't have to build out a lot of superfluous stuff around it to get people invested. So that's one of those things where sometimes I'll watch a promo and I'm like, it's to promote the match and maybe want to see the match. That's why I'm such a big Eddie Kingston fan. Every time that guy opens his mouth, whether he's saying redeem these nuts or whether he's talking about how he's going to bury someone in front of their parents alive, like, that guy's always making me want to watch the match. So very simple, very clean, very easy. And it did its job in building toward what we're getting. So guys, get in those super chats, leave a thumbs up. We do have the TNA post show on the back end of this, still dealing with that Bound for Glory fallout a little bit. I know Mike Bailey was in action defending that X Division title. So you're going to want to hear the thoughts on that, because he was defending it against Moose. I have so many questions. So many questions about what he was doing defending an X Division title against Moose. But hey, it's not my show. Not my circus, not my monkeys. I don't even have to review it. It's the one TV program I don't have to review. So
we'll see what Cresta and Joel feel about that.
That's going to be one to stick around for. One to stick around for sure. But here on ROH, we have Sammy Guevara with Dustin Rhodes defeating Preston Vance with the Go to Hell. I should probably change it if he's going to be rocking this babyface thing. The Go to Hell sounds way too heelish. And it is a go to sleep. You know, Sammy's looked really good since he's come back. The character stuff is a little textbook in a not great way, like a little templated, I should say. And that's okay. He's been away for a little bit and he hasn't been a face very much in his career in AEW. So he's probably trying to cement his identity as a face and explore what that looks like and what that means. So I don't mind that. The in-ring with him is never the issue. He's always stellar. He's always doing great work there. So no complaints about that. This match is perfectly fine. He's one half of a tag team champion. Last week, Preston Vance had a tag team partner. This week, he did not. Feels like they're doing this out of order a little bit. But from the match perspective, it was perfectly fine. And then after the match, finger snaps.
Love that he's getting haunted by finger snaps.
I love it. It's going to live in your brains. So good. And then you hear a, dig what I'm saying? I love the Righteous. I love Vincent so much. This is all perfectly fine. It at least is still building to the eventual tag program. So the post-match kind of salvaged the why is this happening-ness for me a little bit. But what did you think of Sammy versus Preston in the post-match that we got here?
This was a good little, like, big man versus little man matchup where it kind of configured where Sammy is playing the baby face to Preston Vance, more power game and the bigger competitor of the two. So I think this worked out well. It wasn't like a great match, but it was solid for what it needed to be. And Sammy picking up the win, just call it the GTH. Don't call it the Go to Hell. Just abbreviate it and stop calling it Go to Hell. But he hit him good. He hit him like right on the top of the head with his knee. Like, he hit it perfectly. So I was impressed with Sammy showing off the power, lifting him up on his shoulders, and then hitting the move perfectly. So it was a good finish to the matchup. And then I just love the Righteous haunting them with finger snaps and turning out the lights, just playing those mind games, which led to Sammy and Dustin having to react in a similar way that the Righteous did last week, with attacking them from behind later on in the show. And I like the follow-up of last week where we didn't instantly, like I said, I think I talked about that last week, where I was like, oh, it makes me feel like this match is going to happen the next week. I like the fact that we're getting more built. It feels like a matchup that you can get a couple of weeks build that, and you can possibly do Righteous versus the Sons of Texas at Final Battle.
I think you're right. I think that'll be a perfectly fine tag program. I just want the Righteous to win really bad. That's the thing, is like, I really want the heels to go over in that so much. But this is good. And something I've been critiquing across all of wrestling more so in WWE land right now, but also honestly in AEW too, freshening up the playbooks of how we're telling stories. They've gotten so stale. You want to talk about NXT last night? Both of their top champions got pinned. And back-to-back yeah. matches. Like, they have no versatility in how they set stuff up. It feels like both companies right now, all their playbooks have five plays in them, and they just keep rotating them out. The structure of these recent Dynamites, I'm like, I feel like I'm watching a SmackDown. It takes 10 to 15 minutes to get to a match. We've been frequently opening with a stable that takes everything over, that comes back later in the show, if not bookending it. Like, things are feeling very formulaic. Doing stuff like having the Righteous haunting Sammy and Dustin, just little things like that make it feel like such a fresher program. So dug that a lot. Also dug this commercial with the Outrunners and their fanny packs. Did you have anything you wanted to say? And will you buy me one for Christmas, SP3? I'm putting you on the spot.
Oh man. I'll fit you in behind my missus and my twins. I gotta get
Keith. Yeah, get them fanny packs. You should be buying six fanny packs.
Why not? I think they call it out here a bum bag or something like that. I think they call it
fun in England. They have the best phrases for things.
It's a bum bag. I've heard. Yeah, a bum bag. I'll have my daughter say it when she wakes up. She says she has the English accent. I don't. But yeah, I like the Outrunners. I just enjoy them. It's cool that they started off as a Ring of Honor act. So the only presence that they have on the show anymore, because they moved up to the Beak Leagues, is commercials like this.
Yeah. It is kind of funny. We saw, I mean, the same thing almost happened with MXM, right? They came back around last week, but they were here and then they were just gone. These teams that have caught fire. For me, I prefer the in-ring a little bit more on the MXM side, just because Mason is such a freaking beast and Mansoor is very smooth. I feel like the Outrunners, youngest man alive, late 80s, early 90s gimmick, They work to the style of that, which is not my favorite thing. Like, it's a lot of scoop slams and body slams and not a ton else. And I'm an in-ring gal, but they're incredibly entertaining. They play to the room that they're in. I can't hate on them for that. It's just, it's not my favorite way, but that does not mean it's not very, very over. It holds a tremendous amount of value in their world. But it makes sense to me that they connect more with the AEW product than the ROH one, because historically the ROH one has been work rate, like kind of shoved down your throat the most.
That is true. I just hope, you know, we did get some build to a Collision storyline on the show. If you're doing that now, Tony, we need some MXM and Johnny TV segments on Ring of Honor TV, please. Please,
let's hope so. We got a chat from Matthew Hooks, a Fightful sponsor every month for our NXT post show, a Fightful Award sponsor as well. Please support Matthew Hooks at hookedinvoiceovers.com. But he's asking, when Athena moves up, who would you sign to replace her? I don't know if you can replace Athena and what she's done in this company right now, but if I'm signing women off of the independents to ROH, J-Rod and Maggie Lee definitely spring to mind. High End springs to mind. Viva Van springs to mind if they're available. I would like to see them work within the roster that they already have. I am a big Layla Hirsch advocate, and I would love to see her get to step up into that role a little bit. I don't think you can replace Athena, but I think you can develop more important top of the card women on the show. But I mean, to say replace Athena, it's like she's been the promotion for over 2 years now. Like, it's kind of crazy how much this became a women's focused brand. So I like to see the women that are there get elevated. I'm looking at Maggie Lee. I'm looking at J-Rod. I'm looking at Viva Van. I'm looking at Hyann. I am a big proponent of Becca or B3CCA as well. I feel like it boggles the mind that NXT has not come calling for her. Like, I would love to see her in ROH. I would love to see her signed anywhere. But, like, that woman is everything that NXT tries to manufacture people to be, she does naturally and perfectly already. But if they're too silly to sign her, sure, stick her over here. Let's get a pop star on ROH. Any independent women's talent that you want to sign out, or anybody within ROH that you think might step up into that role once Athena gets called up?
Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas' best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You've got questions? O'Reilly Auto Parts has answers. Need a pro you can trust? We've got that too. No matter what you need, our professional parts people have the training and expertise to help you do things right. Deep automotive knowledge. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The first person I thought of you mentioned was Hayan. I think that she's someone that any of these companies would benefit in bringing over. Like you said, I want to see more of the ladies that are already signed to
Trisha Dora
W get the elevation. Trisha Dora being the top of the list. Queen Aminata, I'd much rather her be a top star on Ring of Honor than jobber to the stars on AEW. So I think that they had the right method with Queen Aminata, how they were building her up beginning of the year, especially in the ROH Women's TV title tournament, and then her build to the matchup with Athena. And now, ever since then, because that match with Athena went so well, she's kind of become a jobber to the stars on AEW TV. I'd much rather her be put back on ROH and be a star you're grooming for the future. When you have a spot to fill in AEW that you can give her a push, then she can get back on there, but put her back on ROH for the time being. And I think that Billy Starks has been groomed to take the place of Athena. I don't think that she will fill those shoes because, like you said, Athena was the draw, the person that people have been watching Ring of Honor for. And not many of us, it's me and Kate, but we for sure are minions. So she's the reason why we are here. We come and do this review most shows because she has been so integral to Ring of Honor and its continuation over the last 2 years. So there's not going to be any one person that replaces her. It's going to be a group of people. So if you got to sign one talent from the independent scene, I think that should be Hayan, but you got to see the elevation of your Billy Starks, your Queen Aminatas, your Red Velvet after a good reign with the TV title, getting into the main title picture, Layla Hirsch, Diamante after their Texas Death Match. They need to be elevated, and either one of them gets the TV title and one of them is a mainstay challenger for the world title. So yeah, these are the ladies that I think that it's going to take a group effort to fill the shoes of Athena.
Yeah, and I think the talent's there. I think we learned that during that tournament. Like, it's never been a question of who's there. It's been how these women are organized on the program. Matthew Hook's also saying Zeta Steele and Brittany Brooks, both great talents. Zeta Steele just got that WWE ID tag, though, one of the first in that class. So it seems like that'll be the priority for her. But Brittany Brooks, also a fantastic talent. Also a fantastic talent. But moving along to Lee J and the Philly Marino experience. This is what you would assume it would be. Man, EJ and Duka just is built for this, huh? Like, he just is, he is meant to be a star. He looks so assured in who he is as a wrestler in this promotion, on this brand, etc. Like he knows exactly what he's meant to do out there. And we've talked at length about how much Lee Johnson has improved. He's been off screen for a while because it felt like they ran out of pathways for him. They ran him up the flagpole for the TV title. They ran him up the flagpole for that main title. If he's not going to win anything, it's like, what the heck do you do, right? So I think this gives them a really, really good place to kind of slot in. I like them working as a tag team, especially with what's going on the main roster. You can see avenues for them. You can't see avenues for everyone in ROH on the main roster, but you look at what's going on with Swerve and the Hurt Syndicate. You look at how vocal Swerve has been about these, especially EJ being possibly a part of this. Like, he looks like a million bucks and he looks like he knows what he's there to do. Not the Philly Marino's day, sadly. This was not meant for them to show out. This was not for them. But what did you think of this match, and was possibly your new favorite in this match of the unsigned talent?
No, not yet.
No,
not
okay. Yet.
We're definitely going to get to that. But yeah, Lee J, I like them as a team. I really do think that their future is somehow getting involved in this Swerve versus Hurt Syndicate rivalry, because I have to think that AEW has some foresight, and they did that video package before Wrestle Dream with EJ training with Swerve for a reason. And that eventually EJ will be the backup for Swerve against the Hurt Syndicate, and then eventually turn on Swerve. That's what I want. That's what I, if I had the pen and I was booking this thing, ooh, I think that EJ is someone who would fit in well with the Hurt Syndicate.
There's so much money to be made in that turn too. Like there's so much of watching that relationship blossom, him turning, and then whatever MVP promo we would get that would get cooked up out of that. I feel like you're printing money at that point. But he's just very cool, quite frankly, and very good at this. So looking forward to seeing what goes on from there. But we have an emergency mem, and I'm glad that we get to see these, because as Minion 0069 or 690069, excuse me, I feel like I should be in attendance at these memes. Like, and I'm sure you do too. So I'm glad that they're televised, because it feels like it should be a Zoom call situation. Like, I should get to know what's going on. Somebody should be taking meeting minutes if we're being like so for real. I feel like Lexi Nair could probably pull that off. But Athena says she needs to expand her talents internationally before they're interrupted by Billy Starks, and which felt, that felt a little weird the way they went about that part of it. But Lexi Nair asks Billy Starks if she is going to apologize to Athena, but Athena is bamboozled because she was told Athena was going to apologize to her. And we get Lexi Nair revealing that that Billy Starks was in Minion timeout. My apologies. I put Athena in my notes where I should have written Billy Starks in my notes, because Athena is justified. So we have Lexi Nair basically patching this all together, it feels like, to confuse what's going on here. Billy thinks that Athena apologizes to her. Athena would never apologize to Billy Starks. She's literally never done anything wrong in her life. I don't know why she would be apologizing to Billy Starks. That makes no sense. It's kind of fun because it's passed off as pretty innocent here, but Lexi Nair, just like with this sneaky, possibly manipulating the situation, or was there just genuine confusion? I don't know. But this continuing to move along, I liked what we got here. Perfectly fine with this. This was fine. The dissension seems to be well paced. As far as like where they're going with it, like it feels very much like we're getting Billy versus Athena. And I feel like the timing is going to work out in their favor if that's the plan for Final Battle here.
Yeah, I think you think that if that's the play for Final Battle, we gotta get through like a couple of weeks. They have to kind of get this train moving and put their foot on the gas a little bit more, because you know Billy is kind of estranged from the Mims, from the minions right now. So if we can get more anger, the anger that she gave in that celebration, we need to see that further being developed in the next couple of weeks. Like next week, maybe she gets more angry because she feels like Athena is supposed to apologize to her, and then we can have another big in-ring segment similar to the one that set up last year's Final Battle main event with the graduation, where we can have her fully turn against Athena here. So I think there's ways that they can develop this, but I think by the end of November, we have to firmly have Billy against Athena. Like, we can't have her still being the minion understudy anymore, and she has to really go out of her way to finally put herself in position to be the one to dethrone Athena.
I agree. And, you know, there were rumors surfacing that there's going to be an ROH TV deal. We did not find out anything where that might be. I don't know if it's going to be within the Warner family or elsewhere. Would it make sense if it was in the Warner family, because this could be like a true TV. They could take an hour away from Practical Jokers and throw this up there. That's all I'm saying. Like, it wouldn't kill them. Plus, that's additional content for Max. And we know that they have been wanting content to load up Max with. So that's so easy. You could just move the whole library over there. It makes a whole bunch of sense. My reason for bringing that up here is, you know, will that affect the timing of things? Do they want Athena going into this as champion so that maybe there's a non-finish the first time we do this at Final Battle, and say they go to TV in 2025? Is that inaugural episode where Billy Starks wins and you're kicking off this new era with an incredibly dominant champion making a young, very easy to like, very likable Billy Starks in the process? So I'm intrigued to see what way they go with that, if those rumors are true or come to fruition. I should say they're credible rumors, but it takes a lot to dot I's and cross T's in TV world.
That is something to take note of and pay attention to, because I think that we'll get the people who are initially upset if Billy gets the shot at Final Battle and she comes up short again. They'll be like, all right, this Athena reign is never going to end. But if they are going to get the deal, then that is probably the better place to make the title change, to have a big, impactful first show, like you said, with the longest reigning 2-year champion, you know, putting over the youngest Ring of Honor world champion in history in Billy Starks.
I also have to give a lot of credit to Billy. The way she changes up her look has been really impressive. Like, we saw the Billy Starks that we've kind of known and loved from the indies for a while. Then when she went heel, she changed up her hair. She changed up her body language. Today she came out for this meme and she had like way less makeup on. And it feels like that's all those things feel very intentional. And like the almost transitioning back into the look of the baby face thing by being a little bit more of a blank slate here and a little bit more natural. Like, I just appreciate when people take character details like that into account. So. Good stuff on that. And also some more great stuff on this episode. A lot more women's action. We got Diamante versus Rachel Elring that we're going to talk about. We've got the return of Layla Hirsch on this. But Diamante getting the win over Rachel Elring, who's always shouting out the WNBA. We love that. We love our women's sports around this place. But you have the crossroads. Nice to see Diamante still in the mix. I hope that she is on this track because we post-match have Red Velvet attacking Diamante. I feel like that could be a really fun mix of ingredients for a good title match. I'm glad that she's been getting reps consistently still, because I think she's an underrated talent in this women's division. She has something that is so entirely her own than anybody else under the AEW umbrella in Diamante, especially with Mercedes Martinez specifically, not being as active right now. But what did you think of this? I thought this match was super fun. The verbal squish always cracks me up. But what did you think of what we got here in the post-match after with Miss Red Velvet coming down?
I really like this match being made on this show, because if you give it a second thought, this is not a match that you would automatically say, oh, Diamante is obviously going to win this, because Rachel Ellering has picked up a bunch of wins. So this is kind of like you have an established talent versus another established talent. That's very rare on this show in general. So I think that that was nice to see. And I like the match as well. Like you said, Rachel Ellering is showing more and more kind of character with the squish and the stuff like that. And just, you know, being fired up. And she is good at getting the crowd behind her. And I love Diamante has really kind of really shown her confidence after the Texas Death Match. You could really feel like she has really gained some confidence in herself and her ability to be a star. And she's picking up wins, getting that momentum, and getting ready for another big Ring of Honor Women's TV title match. I like the post-match and further developing that rivalry with Red Velvet. And I feel like this is another rivalry on the show, similar to Sons of Texas versus the Righteous, that you can get a couple of weeks of build, and this can be your Ring of Honor title program.
Yeah, there have been
final battle.
There has been a nice trend back to what I think is fundamental to the DNA of Ring of Honor, which is clean wins, determining challengers, and helping assist those stories. It's that simple. That's all we want. That's all we want from this brand, really. But you mentioned that building confidence for performance. Not everyone has such confidence in their performance, SP3. Some people.
This is true.
Need a little bit of help. Some people, when they're up against a proving ground match, they really don't have the confidence that they're going to last the time limit. You know what I mean? And for those people, I say BlueChew.com.
My friends, you know we always care about your performance at Fightful. And we want to keep that performance at a main event level. And you can with Blue Chew and the code Fightful. The same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a much more affordable option. Blue Chew is ready whenever you are or whenever you're not. Helps give you that extra motivation. That way you can make sure that your performance is at a championship level. You go online to BlueChew.com, and when approved by our online physicians, you get that confidence. You get that performance. And you get it shipped straight to your door. No awkward conversations with the doctor. No waiting in line at the pharmacy. All that stuff. You use that code Fightful. Get your first shipment free. That's how confident that they are that they're going to make you confident. What do you have to lose? BlueChew.com and the code Fightful.
BlueChew.com, code Fightful. We appreciate their support of Fightful. We appreciate all of our sponsors' support on Fightful. And if you want to support something here on Fightful, the Fightful Awards are a great way to do it. It's $100 for a spot. You get access to, last year we had 35,000 views. That's, I think, going to be way up from them because Sean's X account has really, I think he was at like 200,000. He's now well over 300,000 at this point. We have 500,000 followers between his account and the Fightful account. Denise Salcedo is also a co-host of those awards. So you get so much exposure to what you're getting, but you get a product description, you get a 30 to 90 second on-air read, you get exclusivity in your category if it's available. So you really do get the best bang for your buck with those Fightful Awards. Another thing about the Fightful Awards, they're subscriber voted, which I think is something that's an advantage for fan voting because you're not just going to have AEW Rocks 4792 and Roman Reigns avatar, WWE Forever, 89, were just everything of each brand. Like, if you're subscribing to a wrestling service, you probably have, more likely than not, you probably have, like, a bit more objective of a beat on things. You, of course, have your proclivities. Everybody does. But there's going to be, I think, a little bit more of a controlled environment than a lot of other fan awards. So some good stuff. And another reason to subscribe if you haven't already. We will move along in this show to Layla Hirsch defeating Tina San Antonio with that running knee strike. So nice to see Layla Hirsch back in action. I think she's fantastic. Like, I think the first I really saw of her properly on the indies was shortly before she got signed to AEW. She had done the GCW Collective. I think before it was even called the Collective, it was just Joey Janela's whatever. And she was just suplexing dudes that were 10 times her size, I swear to God, like it was nothing. And I was like, who is? And that was probably the start of me calling her Little Lady Taz. That's what she reminded me of. She was Little Lady Taz. And she's really just such a fresh foundation of ingredients that you don't get a lot of, especially in women's wrestling specifically. Like, she just has so many of these women on ROH have alleys that are all their own, and I really appreciate that. And Layla is definitely one that I miss. She had those two great death matches, which are not seemingly her wheelhouse, that she really showed out in, and then she got injured. But glad to see her picking up where she left off with the momentum here. What did you think of this? And are you a Layla stan like I am? I love this woman.
Hey, I always enjoy Layla Hirsch, just her ability to show off, you know, technical ability, the suplexes as well. And man, that knee in this matchup, that came out.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, she really caught her. She's really back. I thought they were going to do more kind of like these mini promos that they've been doing with her before she had her in-ring return. But I was glad, happily surprised to see her, you know, back in the ring on this show. And she's someone that feels like they should be in the title picture. I don't know if she's going to be, you know, the challenger for Athena. That might, you know, the way that the kind of the story with her and Billy has slowed down, you might be onto something with them waiting for the TV deal to put Billy in the position, and you can easily slide in someone like Layla Hirsch to be a challenger for Athena at Final Battle. That would be interesting to me, coming off of her big victory at Death Before Dishonor, and to really kind of adjust her back into the big title picture. That would be a great move by them. If you want a replacement, you want to hold off on Billy for when you get, if and when you get that TV deal, Layla Hirsch would be the top candidate, in my opinion.
I think that would be a very wise call. And if not the first candidate, like, I think you could do a really fun, I feel like she plays well with heels or faces. Like, she's not so firmly in one direction or the other. It's just how much she wants to hurt you with her submissions, I feel like, based on who she's facing. Like, her and Billy Stark's program would be very fun. I would not be against that at all, because they're from such different worlds, but assured enough in those worlds that I think working together, we could get some really, really fun stuff out of. But hey, this match happened because Ishii looked at Jericho a couple weeks ago, right? We got Ishii beating Aaron Solo with that beautiful sheer drop brainbuster. Like, it's Ishii is such a pleasure to watch all the time. I feel like there's not a ton to say about this. I do think we'll probably get, like you said, it'll be Ishii and Chris Jericho facing each other around Thanksgiving, because they did that last time. So they'll probably run that back, especially now that this fight without honor on AEW television is out of the way.
Hey, I thought it was fun, but very much I think me and you felt vindicated, because we said after the ladder war, why did Ishii come out after the matchup?
Yeah.
So I have to double down on that, because you then had Ishii beat Jericho in the fight with On Honor. That should have been the way you set up an Ishii versus Jericho match, instead of Ishii coming out to no reaction. And it takes away from the fact that you just made Mark Briscoe lose the title, where that's the everlasting, that's the kind of the feeling that you came out of the ladder war was feeling like, oh, why did they take the title from Mark Briscoe? Why the title is on Chris Jericho? And then you just thrown in, oh, hey, Ishii over here, Mark Briscoe's friend who didn't show up for him during the matchup, even though Jericho had tons of help. It just made no sense. It makes no sense, and it makes even less sense now that you actually did set up Ishii for a title match by having him beat him here.
Yeah, it just exposes that more, that he had no friends come out for no reason, and then one did come out after for no reason. Like, it makes that angle look all the more stupid. But moving along here, the Righteous getting attacked by your ROH tag team champions at ringside, leading to a brawl from all that snapping. We have an army of security guards that come out to separate them here. This is perfectly good. This is fine. This may happen before a pay-per-view at this rate. Like, it's been cooking for a couple weeks now. I don't think this one needs a super long build. They're haunting them, for God's sake. So unless Final Battle is going to be a pop-up show in 2 weeks from now, I think you could see this happen beforehand. Then maybe a rematch on Final Battle, or they just move on. But I'm just glad to see the Righteous back on my television, SP3. I've missed them.
I've missed them as well. This was a fun little brawl to further hype up the matchup. But yeah, this extra, the fact that they've done multiple segments 2 weeks in a row, it does make it feel like they are rushing through this a bit because they're going to put it on in like next week or the week after. But I'm just begging y'all. Y'all learn the lesson on AEW to announce matches in advance. Why can't y'all do it on ROH, announce matches on the actual show for the following week?
It's so simple and would make such a big difference. It really, really would. It really, really would. But I mean, to your point, though, I don't know if they know what they're doing with these episodes in that time period. We talked about this before we went on air, and I alluded to it before. They said Josh Woods was in the main event. Enric Abadi went out of his way to say, well-deserved, he belongs in the main event. And then we ended up with Shibata and Butcher. And that also wasn't on the initial list of matches that they released. Like when I went to do the setup for this stream, that wasn't on the rundown of the matches they initially released. That came after. So it feels like they just kind of threw that in there for some reason. But here we have Nick Wayne defeating Fancy Ryan Clancy, who I'm very familiar with, at a Lance Storm's Trading School. A lot of nice shout outs to them. Also some TMDK shout outs that were mentioned around that television picture, which that just warmed my heart, because sometimes Enric Abadi is like my own personal Mr. Rogers. Like he's bringing up Big Josh multiple times. You know what I mean? He's bringing up TMDK, talking about Slex and Robbie Eagles. But Nick Wayne in action is something we definitely need to see more of. Now, I'm a big fan of the stable, the patriarchy. Not so much a fan of the concept of the patriarchy this week, but I'm a fan of the stable, the patriarchy. But I feel like the one criticism I have with it is we just don't have the same excitement for Nick Wayne and the other wrestlers that are in it who are supposed to be getting over being under Christian's wing here. It's the one thing I actually do give to the learning tree is people want to see Big Bill and Brian Keith wrestle. Like they are so excited they're on screen. Now, the counter to that is everybody wants to see them wrestle no matter what they're doing. Put them in something that's actually good, which is a very fair point. But from effectiveness of a stable that we're looking at, I got to say, like, that point kind of goes to the learning tree because people want to see them, and I feel like there's not the same excitement. But that might start to change now that we have, like, this Kip Sabian angle that is now playing here. We do have Kip Sabian and Mother Wayne at ringside with this Ryan Clancy match. But I thought Fancy Ryan Clancy was great in this. He loses to the Wayne's World, but it was nice to see Nick Wayne in action and can we get more of it, please? Like, he really is a young phenom, and I don't think he has enough reps for my personal liking.
100% agree with you that they need to put him on Ring of Honor and have collision matches like every week. Like he was wrestling all around the world as a 16, 17 year old, and then he comes to AEW when he turns 18, and you use him like less than his previous year before coming to AEW. Yes. That's weird. That doesn't make a lot of sense there. But Fancy Ryan Clancy was the unsigned talent that impressed me. Okay. That might be in my top five favorite wrestlers unsigned to a big promotion because he stood out. He maximized his minutes. He got big chance from this crowd, the fancy chance. He was just moving really fast. I love the first exchange that he had with him when he was like doing the kip up and doing the little exchange with the arm drags and stuff. That was really cool. And he's a polished wrestler coming from Lance Storm School. You expect that from him, but he was able to kind of stand out in this enhancement talent role. But 100% agree with you with the learning tree patriarchy comparison. But I will say, man, patriarchy does get a point because Christian Cage is like the best character ever. Like, I'm sorry. He made me like the Hook storyline with that one promo he did on Dynamite. I was like, they closed the loop on everything. They made sense of the Grand Slam when Kip Sabian takes the pen from him. He now makes Kip the favorite son, and now Nick Wayne is in the kill switch position. That was great. I was like, that was a missing element to the patriarchy because of kill switch's health. You know, prayers and thoughts to Killswitch. Hopefully he comes back. So then it would be completely out of whack because now Christian has three sons that he only could give attention to one at a time. So I love it. And I love him saying that he had to take out Taz because he wants Hook as his son. He just make Christian Cage reminded us that it was just the end of 2023 into early 2024 where he was easily the best heel character in wrestling. And he reminded us of that on Wednesday.
Yeah, and I got to say, too, if we're comparing those factions, it's only fair to also point out that the people in Christian's faction are not known for lighting up the mic necessarily, where Big Bill has unprecedented charisma, especially for a big man. Like, the archetype for a big man is usually so specific, and he breaks out of that entirely. Brian Keith cuts a great promo, too. So yeah. They just have more wiggle room, and they genuinely just have more experience. You know, on the Killswitch side, his whole thing is he doesn't really talk. He's a dinosaur. Nick Wayne, not the strongest promo in the world. So there's a reason for that imbalance as well, I think, there. But guys, we are coming down the home stretch. Leave a thumbs up on this video. We've got Joel and Cresta coming up to talk to you all about this episode of TNA, which from the rundown didn't look like the most meat on the bone for an episode that I've ever seen. But we're going to let you hear about it all from them. We do have the Shane Taylor Promotions segment backstage where I got to say, you guys know I love Carly Bravo and Sean Dean. I feel like it was a bit of an overreaction. I feel like they didn't need to beat up five security guards for not knowing where Dustin Rhodes was. I felt like that was a little much, but they call out Dustin Rhodes saying that he has stolen property and that they were here to regain it. So that is good. I like that it feels like we have an idea of what we want to do with our tag team champions beyond whatever's going on with the Righteous, like that we are lining things up. I'm so glad because I love Shane Taylor's promotions. I love Shane Taylor as a promo. I think he's one of the best in all of wrestling. And I love the infantry. So like it feeling like there's things for them to do. I know that sounds like such a low bar, but it was just them getting 50-50 or eating losses for such a long time. Now it feels like we have a stake in the ground for a stable that's going to be running roughshod around here. And I like it, but these poor security guards, man.
Hey, all they had to do was speak up, like the one security guard who was able to stand and finish that segment on his feet. So, I mean, if they were doing their job like that one security guard, they wouldn't have got messed up. But I like this. This kind of doubled down on the comparison and the description that I gave to Shane Taylor Promotion. They're just a bunch of thugs. They want a title that Dustin Rhodes has. Dustin Rhodes has too many, to be fair.
It's true.
We've been saying this for months. So it's about time that Shane Taylor says, you know what? I'm going to start with the six-man tag team titles. That's the titles I was most known for. That's the titles that I earned my name on, and I'm going to get that. And then that's going to start the Shane Taylor Promotions taking over the company and taking all the gold.
Yeah, and kudos to them. I had mentioned it in the match itself about the transition from face to heel with the infantry. I feel like before they were people you want to hang out with. Now they're people I want to be on the good side of. Like, I don't want to mess with these guys. I still kind of like them, but they're coming across as badasses, and that's definitely necessary for this. We do have our throwback match, which was a lot more forgivable. Not in a three-hour episode!
And not 23 minutes.
Not 23 minutes either. And one that was relevant to the program here. It was Shane Taylor Promotions. This was with Khan, who people probably recognize. Moses and Shane Taylor defeating the Mexa squad of Bandido Flamita. Remember that guy? And Ray Horus. This was a perfectly, there's not like a ton to talk about. It wasn't such a classic that we need to spend time on it, but much less offensive than last week's placements and time. What did you think of having this throwback here?
Smooth transition from the backstage segment into that. And it basically, if you weren't aware which title of Dustin's, because Dustin had so many, if you weren't sure which title Shane Taylor was aiming at, the throwback match basically told you which one it is. It's the one that has his tag team partners that haven't left Texas yet.
The Van Erichs were stuck in Texas. They can't leave. They're just stuck there. They can only drive around the state. They can't get on a plane to the Van Erichs. But we move on to A.R. Fox versus Josh Woods for our main event. Wait, no, it's not. They just told us it was the main event. But I loved, loved, loved what we got here. AR Fox winning with that 450 splash. Begging, praying, whatever booking gods there are. I don't know if I got to go to St. Patrick's Cathedrals and start lighting candles or whatever. But Josh Woods needs to win matches and be a contender for a title. Like, he is way too much of a badass. I always say, like, of all the people with tag names, like taglines for themselves, the technical beast is probably A, one of the most badass, and B, one of the most perfect descriptions that you could ever get from a guy. AR Fox, though, from like a establishment point on the show, does kind of outweigh Josh Woods in that way. So I'm not mad about it, but I just can't watch Josh Woods eat that many more losses because I don't find it believable. He reminds me of Tom Lawler a little bit, of just like, my only complaint in your wrestling is that I have a hard time believing that you would lose because you come across as such a fucking badass in the ring in like a way that not a lot of guys do, because it feels like there's a very, very real foundation to what they're doing. But I loved a lot of what we got from this match. It would have been a great main event if they let it be. But after the match, you have Nick Wayne attacking AR Fox with a fisherman suplex, and Fisherman suplex on Fox before hitting the dragon suplex. So some good post-match in this as well. Feels like we're setting up something between Nick Wayne and AR Fox, which makes sense, kind of going back to former connections of things. But this should have been the main event. I don't know why it wasn't. I don't know why we threw this other thing, but loved this. I loved this. Yeah. I didn't want either of these guys to lose.
They're already scheduled for a match on Collision, so that would have been the perfect way to close the show. You do the plug for Collision, Nick Wayne versus AR Fox, and that's how you end the show. It was just so confusing. I was like, why isn't this the end?
Edit the main event into something else. Like, put it on right before this. I don't get it.
I did not get this, but yeah, it was a pretty decent matchup. AR Fox is always fun. He has the smoothest jump up to the ropes that I've seen since Rob Van Dam in the 90s, and the way he hits the 450 splash always looks beautiful, and it was a nice little difference of styles against Josh Woods here, so a good showing in what should have been the main event of the show, and Nick Wayne attack at the end makes sense because they have a rivalry that's built into a match on Collision. Something of substance, not our main event.
Which was Shibata winning over the Butcher with a penalty kick. All right. I really don't have a lot more to say.
I think the last time I saw Shibata was when he lost to Jack Perry, and I was just like confused. I was like, okay, Shibata's back. Cool.
I'm glad. Okay. I love him.
I'm glad. I'm always glad to see Shibata. I'm glad he's wrestling.
Commentary was like one of the best pure wrestlers. I was like, enough. He's had his time in the pure division. All right. We don't need these pure wrestling perverts monopolizing everything. Let's get some new people in there, and let's get some new people on the stream because we're wrapping up ROH right now. I must ask you a question, SB3. Are you so excited to see the beautiful, wonderful Cresta? Because I know I am.
Let's be my mic over here.
Hey! And also Joel's here, but Cresta's here!
Yes, the pervert.
I mean...
What up, TNA crew? How we doing?
No Shave November. I wanted to get involved, so I wanted to...
I'm like a pirate. November.
You know, November. Not every week?
Yeah, why not? Why not?
Are you going to run every single day? Are you going to stream? Like every day you're going to have that stream going? You know,
every time I'm on camera on this channel, you'll see me with a mustache, and I'll try to keep it interesting.
Respect. Well, you know, if you're going to commit to the bit, you may as well do it everywhere.
Because I don't get paid enough for that chicken shit bit.
All I'm saying is if you're going to do it, you got to commit fully. Come on, grow the full beard. I want to see it fuller every single week now.
Oh, okay. That I will do. Every right, week we're going to add the goatee. There we're going to be full Wolfman. And by the end, I'm going to look like Cousin It.
Yeah.
I never want November to end. I'll say never. This since you brought up No Shave November. A lot of the PWA Australia talent, including Tuckman and a couple other ones over there, are doing like 100 burpees a day for the month as a No Shave November fundraiser. And I was like, that's awesome. If you asked me to do that, I would do two a day and I would pass out. And
I do
burpees
exactly
are my
one.
Least favorite thing in the world. No thanks. Hard pass. No, thank you.
Can I ask SB3 and Kate, can I ask you both a question?
Of course.
Are you two possibly in the same room and just like on opposite sides? If you take off the background in SP3s, that big lion painting, I feel like
turn your camera.
Turn your cameras around real quick.
We are not, sadly. I wish I was in the same room as SP3. He's still in England, so
yeah, we're not even in the same continent.
Allegedly. So. By the way, put some respect on the Von Erichs last name, because Marshall Von Erich tore his pec the last time he wrestled for Ring of Honor. And you know where that was? It wasn't in Texas, it was in New York.
Hey, why you said it like that?
Vacate the titles, then.
Vacate the titles.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. If you're going to tell them they can't leave Texas, you may as well get it right.
They shouldn't leave Texas. That's what they would have got injured in Texas.
They shouldn't have left Hawaii, but here we are.
Get out of here and let you talk about how was DNA today.
It was really good. Final match was I was surprised, gooped and gagged.
Surprised, gooped and gagged. I love it.
There we go. There we go.
What was the last match?
Moose versus Mike Bailey for the X Division Championship. And these guys beat the shit out of each other.
Okay. Half of that I thought would be good.
Yeah. And then you find out who won the match. And then you feel a different way.
Yeah, Moose won, so I spoiled it. Sorry. Oh, she rage left. She rage left. She rage left. She said, "I don't get paid enough for this."
She did. Bye, what guys. I wanted to do.
Moose won the X title.
Yeah.
Why?
I wasn't expecting it. I don't know.
It's been a long week. It's been a long week already.
There are a few different reasons. There's a few.
Kate said, "I've had enough. I don't want to hear any reasons."
I mean, listen.
On that note,
the new champ still has two or three years left on his deal, and the now former champ is currently not re-signed with the company and is due at the end of the year. So,
bye, Kate. I'll see him on ROH.